Alright, what's up, fools? This is Grand Marchese.
Y el carnal, Cersco.
And this is Hella Horror, where we pick a few movies with the same little theme and cook them up and chop them down in chunks of humor and sarcasm.
Simon, Raza, we'll be getting into some creepy shit, funny shit, and some dumb shit, so get with the program.
Hell yeah. We just finished watching that Mandalorian. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that shit was awesome.
I mean, it's not horror related, but then we got to see a fat ass Boba Fett.
Yeah, that shit was funny, though.
I don't know how people feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
So our topic for this episode is going to be about reminiscing on some old school flicks.
Classics.
Where the monsters and the mutants and the freaks are the good guys.
Simon.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always got to let y'all know. This is explicit material, and it's also full of spoilers. I guess this is a spoiler alert. As soon as you start listening to us, you know we're going to spoil the shit out of everything we watch.
Every day, all day.
So, yeah. The movies we chose to talk about for you guys, for your listening treat, Swamp Thing, Part 1, The Toxic Avenger, Part 1, and The Dark Man, Part 1.
Trio.
And all these have to do with some kind of mutant monster superhero type of thing, and they're all part one. So that's how we chose them.
That's how we wrote.
So as usual, we're gonna go through the movies, let you know what these movies are about, and then just have fun with it. Here we go.
Simon.
So the first one is Swamp Thing, released back in 82, written and directed by Wes Craven, fucking legend. RIP,
R.I.P.
Man. He's known for creating the Freddy Krueger character and also bring a slasher back with Scream in the 90s. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Apparently, Craven did this movie to show he can handle making a simple action movie. You know, for a while, he didn't want to be known as horror only and stuff like that. But shit, that motherfucker knew his shit.
Yeah, man. Why he got a hit on it, though, man? He should stick what he knew. Well, he did, but, you know.
Yeah, you know.
But it's grateful. We're grateful for it.
Sometimes that's what you learn, man. You stay in your lane, homie.
Simone, that's it.
So Swamp Thing is just based on old Vertigo DC comics created by some dude named Len Wein and Bernie Washington. They actually made two series of this, dude. Mm-hmm. Way back in the 90s, they made a series on USA Network and one last year with DC Universe, but that shit got canceled real quick. Done. For this movie, we've got the standout actors. Well, basically, these are the people that all these movies, y'all, have hella actors. And we basically just focused on the ones that kind of stood out to us. You know, the mainstays. The Swamp Thing himself is played by Dick DeRock.
Dick
DeRock.
Dick
DeRock. Nah, this dude, he's pretty much is the Swamp Thing. He played Swamp Thing in like the old series from the 90s. And he was in Swamp Thing in part two. We'll talk about that another time. And RIP Dick. I mean, RIP Dick. That's a fucked up name to have, bro, for real.
When you're saying RIP, yeah.
Yeah, when you say RIP Dick.
RIP Dick.
He was a big dude, so he played a lot of bad guys and big dudes in a bunch of old school movies and whatnot. Then you got Adrian Barbeau. She plays Swamp Thing's romantic interest, Alice Cable. You know, we talked about her before, you know, with made hella movies with Carpenter and stuff like that. And then we got this one rando dude, this little young African-American, young black man, Reggie Batts.
Reggie!
But this fool, man, he plays some awkward-ass character named Jude. Couldn't understand him half the time. I mean, I didn't know. It's like, what the fuck did he just say?
Fucking mumbling, though.
He was mumbling the whole time. So the bad guy, the main boss, villain, Anton Arcane, is played by this dude, old school actor. But his name is Louis Jordan. Crazy ass fact. He was a young dude up in France back when the Nazis occupied that shit. So this is World War II, folks. He was like in the film industry and whatnot. And he was forced to work with the Germans to make propaganda against his own people. Pretty fucked up, right?
Yeah.
His dad got captured and then his dad escaped prison or whatever confinement they had him in. And then him and his family end up joining the French resistance and, you know, do like anti-propaganda leaflets and all that. So, damn, man.
So, I got a question. I should have looked this up, too. But is this the same dude that plays in Scarface as the oh, it's not.
Oh, dude.
Is it?
No. Actually, this Louis Jordan is not, but I think the dude you're talking about, the one that he's trying to buy out, I think he's the same guy that played the Dr. Holland. I think. Maybe. We got to watch it.
Yeah. But
that's a good connection.
Yeah. But anyhow.
We should have looked at. You should have looked that. I should have looked up.
It's okay though, man. There's like different factors that goes into all this. People, it's a lot of work, man.
For real, man. Got new. Long story short, this movie is about some scientist named Holland. Basically, he's working for the government, coming up on a project to cure hunger. Basically, use some kind of formula to make shit grow, replicate it. You know, so you can replicate a bunch of, you know, I don't know, calabazas or squash.
Yeah. The humanity, you know, it's always that story and shit, but, you know, NSF came down and shut down the shit, right?
NSF?
Yeah.
Who's NSF?
The government, National Science Foundation.
No, I think they're working with NSF.
NSF isn't. They have their hands in everything, so.
Yeah.
Hardy, hard, hard.
Message! No, so, you know, so they're working in the cuts and the bayous, and then... what ends up happening is this bad guy scientist, Anton Arcane, who everyone thought he was dead, like Voldemort type shit. He shows up out of the blue with some fucking Mission Impossible shit. He's got a crew of mercs, and they're killing off all the government workers because they want the lab notes. They show up, fuck shit up, and then make Mr. Holland, Dr. Holland have a little accident. The fucking serum was super volatile, blows up on him, lights his ass on fire.
Like on fire, though.
It looked dope.
You know, on fire like in that game.
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
He's on fire. Lift that motherfucker up.
But yeah, he was on fire, though.
Yeah, I mean, then he jumps into the swamp. You know, later on, he ends up transforming into the swamp thing. But Cable, though, that female, she's scrappy as fuck. You know, as soon as they tackle her down, she just starts fighting.
She's throwing those things.
She's just fucking throwing them fucking hands, bro. She's like, don't get handsy with me, fool. I got hands.
From the shoulder, though.
For real. Yeah, she pieces shit out. One dude grabs his M16 and lights the first merc she sees. She's like, pop, pop.
Oh, yeah, bro.
She grabs that shit.
And she's doing combos, folks. We're not just talking about throwing punches. Just like face, stomach, face.
Hammer punch. Knee.
By the way, what is she? What ethnicity is she? I always thought she was Latina, but I don't think she is.
I think she's white with the perm. She's always wearing a perm sometimes, or hers always fluffy. Even her, she's hella old now, you know. And she even showed up on the Creepshow series.
That's right.
It's on Shudder, folks. If you ain't got Shudder, go get it.
Go Shudder yourself to there. Yeah. And Shudder it.
Yeah. There you go. Good. I like that.
There you go.
She escapes. And then Swamp Thing actually ends up saving her hella times. They end up finding out, okay, he protects her. So they trap him and they capture both of them. In the meantime, Swamp Thing loses an arm. So the bad guy ends up getting all the lab notes and he turns himself into an ugly ass monster. They duke it out. Swamp T kills him. And then boom.
That's the story.
That's it. And at the end, you know, Cable's like, hey, what's up, big guy? And, you know, let's go save the world. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go fuck a tree. And he walks out into the fucking swamp.
I'm going to go get a Woody.
Yeah. Literally, dude. I'm like, dude, bro, you got some, you know, handful of chichi right there. And this right dude's now. Just say, nah, I'm going to go fill up on some plants. Little weirdo. Hey, come on, man. Letting me down, homie.
Shit.
Next movie we looked at, this is a wild one, yo. The Toxic Avenger. Raise your hands if you've seen that shit. Holy fuck. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's going to fuck up your sensitivity a little bit, but man, that shit's off the hook, for real. So this was released back in 84 by Troma Entertainment. So Troma Entertainment, they're known for the low-budget B-movies. Campy and violent as fuck. And it's always in those movies there's some chicks dancing naked. A lot of chichis bouncing all over the place.
Titties flying everywhere. One goes left, one goes right.
Simon. So they're pretty much an independent film studio, you know, and they made this movie. So this movie is directed by Michael Hertz and Lloyd Kaufman, both the founders of Troma Entertainment, and still making movies to this day. They actually made 4 Toxie movies. Well, that's what they call them, Toxie. Yeah, so the Toxic Avenger is known as Toxie. But anyways, they made 4 Toxie movies And fun fact, the fifth movie, which was supposed to be made, called The Toxic Twins or something like that, it's still planned. Kaufman said a couple years ago that, oh, we're still moving. We're gonna make that shit. So, you know, the usual low budget thing, right? But then he also announced that they're going to do a big budget remake with Peter Dinklage. He's like the little person that plays Tyrion Lannister from freaking Game of Thrones.
Oh, the little dude with the big head with the fucked up grill?
Yeah.
No burn.
But for real though, a remake on this movie, it's not going to be the same.
Nah, it has too many. I mean, at the time, now you can look at it and say, oh, it's racial and blah, 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 racist and this and that. But at his time, it was one of those movies, and there was many movies like it. So get with the program. If not, then, hey, you can hate on yourself.
But, you know, I guess we have to watch the last part four to see how that one turns out. Because if that was anything like the first one, I haven't seen the fourth one yet, but that should be interesting. But damn. So, and that's actually moving forward. They just announced Peter Dinklage is going to play Toxie. So that should be interesting. So this story, of course, written by Kaufman and some other dude named Joe Ritter, who actually worked on a bunch of trauma movies. So we got a Latinx spotlight, though, folks. What does that mean? There's a mention in some spotlight on the Latinos. The only difference in this one is hella racist.
It is.
Yeah,
but so, it's funny.
Yeah, so Bozo, the main bag dude, just runs people over, hit and run, GTA style, and his homie's like, yeah, man, you know, I'm not going to repeat what he says, but basically all the other races are 10 points.
Fuck it. Just do it. We're not being racist. It's just the movie. Go hate on the fucking director if that's the problem. Say this shit.
I'm not going to say it. They're going to be like, oh, shit, you said that shit. But basically, he gets to the point where he says Puerto Ricans are worth 30 points.
Damn.
That's 10 more points than the other races. Holy shit. And kids are like worth like 45 points or something.
God damn.
Yeah, I know, for real. So the movie stars a bunch of unknowns, obviously. So, you know, budget, independent types of stuff. The one that always stands out for me is Gary Schneider. He plays Bozo. This is a crazy, coked out bully. I mean, you hell looks coked out. And he likes to hit and run innocent people. I mean, simple as that.
Yeah, that motherfucker seems like they hooked his ass up to a car battery. And he's always wired. His eyes are bulging. His hair's like, I mean, the dude really looks like he's on crack, right? He's like just the whole fucking, and he hated that mob guy.
Yeah, and he's always like, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out.
Give me some coke.
Yeah, that dude's just all one, man. Yeah. That fool's crazy. He rolls with some other bullies, whatever. And he made a bunch of B-movies, made a bunch of movies for Troma. And the other actors really, they're worth, you know, mentioning, cause, you know, except Toxie. I forgot what that dude's name is. I forgot to write that shit down.
Who, Toxie? Melvin? Oh, the real actor?
The dude that played Toxie. Oh, yeah. Shit. I fucked up, folks.
Toxic's what matters.
Fuck it. Moving on.
Toxie.
So long story short, the movie's about it's a straight dorky ass dude. I mean, he fits the bill like your basic stereotype nerd from the 80s. Just, you know, can't dress right and acting mentally challenged. They call him Melvin the Mop Boy.
Damn.
So basically, he gets on the nerves of these bullies, you know, Bozo and his crew. Basically, him and his dude and then two hot chicks, one blonde girl, one brunette. Anyways, so then they play a prank on him. And then he runs off in shame. Decides to jump out of a window for some reason in this gym that's super packed all the time, and just everyone likes to hang out in there and do blow and have sex with each other in front of everybody.
But you gotta tell him, when you look at Toxie and you look at him and he has a tutu on,
oh yeah,
there's a reason for it. Go ahead, Grandma Marquise, explain it to them.
So Melvin the Mop Boy, when they play the prank on him, they're like, you know, the hot girl, white, the blonde girl, she's like, hey man, you know, you gotta wear this pink tutu to, you know, to hook up with me. And he's like, all right,
because the pink like arouses her even more,
some bullshit. But he falls for it, and then they laugh at him while he's you know, in the dark while he's kissing up on a sheep. But he jumps out his window. You know, he jumps out, it's a second floor window, so when he lands, he falls into an opened barrel container full of toxic waste, just bubbling. None of them had covers. It was just hell of them in the back of a truck. The only reason that truck's there is because these two fucking truck drivers happen to find a fucking sandwich bag full of coke.
Break time.
And the fools just started blowing, like, doing hella blow. Just like, okay, let's just stop here in the middle of the street.
And face first, people, we're talking about, like, head, face in the bag.
Straight, oh, dude, it was straight,
Scarface
style. Scarface, yup. Scarface style. They were just going ham on that shit. So, Melvin starts melting and boiling and catches fire. He runs away. He eventually transforms into the Toxic Avenger. And all of a sudden, he just starts doing superhero shit for no reason and starts killing criminals.
But it's classic because he makes this weird ass fucking noise like, and he talks normal like, hey there, whatever the fuck he's saying. But you know, it's funny. I mean, it's such a funny fucking it's combination. Wild. Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's weird, man. But it works for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, so the mayor's hella corrupt, this big old fat white dude. And then him and his cronies, you know, pretty much make money off all the crime. He controls everything in town. So then they're like, okay, we got to stop this dude. This dude's fucking with our business, you know what I'm saying? And eventually they find him. He's out camping outside with his blind girlfriend that's wearing a bikini in the middle of no reason.
It seems like it's a November fucking day and shit because it's all gloomy. It's not even hot. The sun's not even out and shit.
It's just weird. But anyways, and the mayor ends up calling in the National Guard. I want him dead. The National Guard's like, nah. So then what ends up happening is Toxie ends up rushing and fighting. Well, he doesn't really fight the mayor. He just punches him right in the gut and kills him. Right in front of everybody. Everyone cheers. End of movie. And at the end, Toxie's running around town going,
Yeah, folks. One of those Hallmark moments.
It was wild, man. It was just a wild-ass movie, man. And then you got Darkman.
Yeah.
This is a trip. So this was released back in the 90s by Universal Studios. So this was written and directed by Sam Raimi. So many of you horror fans, horror nuts, know who Sam Raimi is. You know, he did the Evil Dead series. And he also did the Spider-Man movies, the one with Tobey Maguire. When he did this, the fun fact, folks, the fun fact is he created Darkman only because he wasn't able to get the rights to The Shadow or Batman. Those movies were made by someone else. Obviously, Batman was made by Tim Burton, and The Shadow was made by someone else. The Shadow was like a kind of a, it's okay movie.
Yeah, it was kind of bunk.
Actually, it was kind of garbage. I'm not going to watch
it.
But so he made this character. He says, so fuck it, man. I'm going to do it myself. All by myself.
Fuck it. Goony goo goo.
Funny fact.
Ooh, I fucked up on that one.
So there's a cameo at the end of the movie. The very last scene, Darkman, and it's Bruce Campbell, a.k.a. Ash of the Evil Dead movies. And Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi go back in college days. They both made Evil Dead together, and Bruce Campbell is Ash. You know, no one will ever play that part again, as long as Raimi and Campbell live. So he plays the hero at the final scene because the hero likes to wear a different mask. So yeah, so they made Darkman. Darkman made money. They made comic books out of it, video games, toys, etc. The usual bullshit with all these movies we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the actors that really stood out, obviously, Liam Neeson, Mr. Motherfucking Taken. Okay. Oh, wasn't that Obi-Wan? No, wasn't it? Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon.
So he plays the main character, the main hero, Darkman. So he starts off as Dr. Peyton Westlake. Fucking two doctors so far.
But I gotta stop you right there. I gotta just stop you right there. People, I gotta tell you one thing, man. And they'll say, I'm not counting on you, but God damn, those teeth were fucked up.
He got some jacked up teeth.
He got some jacked up teeth, man.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah, he never fixed. Did he ever fix the teeth?
No, he fixed them because I've never realized it.
They're like, you know, his agent said, do you need to fix
your teeth? No, he had little teeth. That motherfucker has like little teeth. He looks like
baby teeth.
Yeah, he had little baby. Like, they look like fucking those
Tic Tac.
No, not even. You know those corn sugars? Those for Halloween? Those little
candy corn?
Candy corn. They look like candy corns. Anyhow, back to script.
Yeah, but that's what Liam Neeson was known to do, is go on revenge and start killing fools. I mean, this was his first action film, to top it all off. And then, obviously, years later, you see him fucking doing Taken, doing God's work.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you got the other actor, Larry Drake. He's a bad dude. He plays Robert Durand. Fucking G-ass motherfucker, dude. He's like almost like a mafioso, just straight gangster.
You had a bald haircut.
Yeah, it was weird, fucking funny. Yeah, bald haircut. Like, yeah. He's in the fucking Dark Ages and medieval times. You know, looking like Charlemagne and shit. But he don't play, though. So we got our Latino spotlight. Rafael H. Robledo plays Rudy Guzman.
Guzman.
He's one of the lackeys, one of the goons that works for Duran. So that dude, you know, I got to say, you know, he's running for the wrong team, but he makes us proud, man. When he gets down with his Desert Eagle, he pulls that shit out. But it's funny, he lets out the homie in him. He lets out that skin when he gets all spooked out. He's like, "Chinga tu madre, Smiley, it's at you!" So that's our Latino highlight for this episode and this movie.
That's right, people.
So long story short, Gar Marchese, what's this movie about? Well, let me tell you, son. So Dr. Westlake is always a fucking doctor. He's a scientist. He's working on the cure for prosthetics, and basically he's working with some ancient 3D printing technology back when it wasn't even heard of. So he was making these lifelike masks and silicone hands and masks using real skin cells, blah, 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 blah.
See, people, they know about this shit and they've been knowing about this shit. So what else do they know about now that we're going to find out in 20 years? Just saying.
Yeah, look at Star Trek. Space Force!
Oh, yeah, Space Force.
Space Force, USA. Merc. So anyways, so this dude's got a girlfriend who's a lawyer. And they were just hanging out in bed, and she was in the morning having coffee, and then she just goes, "Oh my god, look at this memo. My boss, the firm I work for, is corrupt, crazy." And he's like, "Whatever, let's get married." She goes, "Nah, let me think about it." But then she shows up and then confronts her boss, and he's like, "Yo, you gotta give up the evidence, girl." And she's like, "Nah, fuck that." And he's like, "All right." So her boss is like, corrupt ass lawyer. Sends Durant, because Durant works for him, and his crew, and they go to get the evidence, and they fuck Dr. Westlake up and blow his ass up, looking like Wile E. Coyote at the end of that.
Got murked.
They end up dipping him in that solution, the formula he created, and then gets blasted. But what ends up happening, everyone thinks Westlake is dead, right? But nope, the hospital catch up to him. Then they run experiments on him, thinking he's some kind of burnt homeless dude.
Yeah.
But they do the shit they do to him pretty much pumps up his adrenaline glands. So all of a sudden, he's always just fucking coked out, just raw.
Hyphy mode. Hyphy mode.
Freaking straight hyphy, man. Like steroid hyphy. Like that shit.
Yeah.
He can't feel anything, but his emotional triggers are like on point. So now he's like a domestic violence type of motherfucker. Like, ain't no joke.
Now he loses his marbles. Literally, he loses his marbles.
Yeah, he freaks out at one scene when the motherfucker don't want to give him his toy at the carnival.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's like, "No, man, I hit that with the baseball." Nah, man. And he freaks out and he beats the shit out of the dude. No, he fucking grabs him, throws him through the fucking wall.
Yeah, man. Talk about fucking Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Dumbass carny. Shit, know your shit. Know your whole place.
Motherfucker.
So then, back to the story. He's in the hospital. He escapes. And then he just goes on a revenge binge, killing all the bad guys, using all his masks and gadgets and blah, blah, blah. At the end, he kills Durant. He blows him up by a helicopter. And then Kat gets his girlfriend back from the main bad guy that's been pulling all the strings, the lawyer dude. And he throws him off a steel, you know, it's a high rise. It's still in the process of being built. It's, you know, steel.
Foundation or whatever the fuck. Construction folks. Steel, you know what we're talking about.
High-rise steel structure.
If not, Google this shit.
Basically, he tosses his ass off.
He tosses him off.
And then La the Dark Man says, "Peace out. I'm going to go make an album with Wu-Tang. Peace."
Wu-Tang? Are you sure it wasn't with Vin Diesel?
No. Don't even get me started on Vin Diesel making his own fucking... What's with these fucking actors thinking they can sing? It's all auto-tune and shit. Anyway.
Super auto-tune.
That shit's a horror show right there, man. Fuck all of that.
Shit.
Let's look at this murder rap sheet.
Murder rap.
There's some murders going on in these movies, bro. Mm-hmm. Hell of murder.
For sure, though.
So, folks, let's just talk about this, you know? These guys are these movies are now in court. They're looking at the judge. The judge is going, let me see what you did here, young man.
Yeah.
He opens his manila folder. First person he looks at, Swamp Thing. He looks at the movie, not just the person, because this is like RICO case. There's all kinds of murders being committed because of this damn movie. So the first kill goes to the mercs. Fuck, dude, these mercs are fucked up. They even shoot one of their own dudes.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
They kill fucking Tyrone.
Where's Danny? Where's Willie? Maybe Willie's with Tyrone. Danny shot Tyrone.
Oh, yeah, Tyrone got murked.
He come out the bushes. Blah, blah.
Motherfucker got booked. That's what happened.
And they shoot Jude.
Oh, that's right. They did shoot him, huh?
They straight shoot him. I think they shoot him.
No, they do shoot him because then that's when Swamp Thing like does his little fucking miracle grow. And fucking brings him back to life. It's like, what the fuck? He's like, damn, okay. Okay.
So let's talk about Swamp Thing. You know, what's he getting into? What's he getting into? What about when he kills the leader, that merc? The dude with the fucking curly hair.
Oh, and the one with the beret. He had like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what he used to do to him. What did
he just... He puts his hand on top of his head.
Oh, yeah. And he just fucking grips. Grips his hair and then he scalps him.
No, he never scalps him.
Oh, no. That's toxic. Yeah, that's right. Well, on Fuck's Lake, when we're talking about three movies, I got to keep up and you got to keep up. All right? So if I get the shit wrong, you're going to get the shit wrong too. But yeah, essentially he like... He grabs his hair and he...
You can't even tell. Like,
yeah, it was weird. It's like was one of those weird...
The only thing it looked like, it was like he was just like, ow, and he starts bleeding from the head.
Yeah, and he's just...
I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of shitty.
That was weak. So Swamp Thing, when he fights the lead merc, Ferret, he's got that machete. And he's coming at him, mm-hmm. and he chops his arm off.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swamp Thing goes, ah, and then he, with his extra hand, then he starts... Giving him a massage, a brain massage.
Yeah, that's right. And then later on, when he's in jail, he's trying to do the miracle girl shit on himself, but doesn't happen. So he runs around with one hand for a while, or one arm for a while.
Well, he grows it back.
Yeah, but that's like towards the end. Who gives a fuck?
When he's in the jail, yeah. That's when he grows it back, but whatever. Yeah. But by the time he fights the villain monsters just throws, you know, the arcane, takes the serum, and he starts going berserk, starts breaking shit. He grabs a sword, his decoration sword on the wall, and just starts breaking shit with that. And then he goes and fights Swamp Thing with it. It's kind of a lame fight. Basically, he puts a beat down on him, you know, in the swamp. Then he grabs a sword and he stabs him right in the chest and then kills the main boss. Now, and that's when he goes and fucks a tree.
Now, folks, I want you to, like, keep a tab on this. This is the first samurai sword.
This was not a samurai sword.
Oh, no, it was Excalibur. Yeah. It was Excalibur sword. That's right. It was weird. He's like, doo, doo, doo. Like, I thought it was going to be some Excalibur shit in the fucking movie, man. But no.
That shit did not work for him.
No, this motherfucker looked like, man, we got to give a description because I don't think we're going to be able to talk about it later on. But the description of the fucking monster was like wolf.
It was like a pig face.
Pig face, like a hog. A hog face. Yeah, it was like a hog
with hella hair.
His eyes remind me like a barracuda's.
Yeah, like fish eyes.
Fish eyes. His hair looked like fucking a werewolf. His body looked like a werewolf.
No, his body had like a scale. Oh, no, it was like an alligator type shit. No, like
armadillo.
Yeah.
It looked like an armadillo. So it was fucked up. And so here's the thing. Let's just kind of quickly go through this. Not spend too much time on it. But his sidekick, right, which was one of the mercs. I can't remember his name. He got transformed into a pig. No, like a demon.
It's like a little imp.
Imp, yeah. So,
but it made no sense, though, now that you mentioned that. So he forces, I guess you can call that a death, because Arcane forces him the drink that has that formula. And when he drinks it, he starts going, he starts freaking out. And he falls under the table. And then he comes back up and he's this little tiny monster guy. What makes no sense is the formula also transformed his t-shirt. So then his turtleneck grew small-ass size. I'm like... All you do is transforming the person. How's it transforming the actual clothes? Because right. Dr. Holland, he goes straight naked when he's a Swamp Thing. And we'll get into the Swamp Thing suit later. All right, man. So who we got next on the docket, Yana?
We got Darkman.
The Darkman. So we got to start with the G-ass Durant. Man, that motherfucker ain't no joke. I mean, he kills rival criminal bosses. One of the first dudes we meet in the movie. The first dude that has the very first lines in the movie. Like, as soon as it opens up, You see like the docks, and then all of a sudden you hear,
"Cause he's an asshole. Tell him no."
And you're like, "What the fuck?" So, but eventually, you know, Durant's crew and his crew duke it out. But then at the end, Durant, you know, wins the upper hand. But when they get the dude, what he does, Durant, he likes to keep the finger of all his victims. So with a cigar clipper, he ends up clipping the dude's finger right off. And then obviously they kill him off screen, but that's his first kill. But then Durant, you know, like I said, man, he's a straight killer. You know, he ends up killing one of his goons.
Yeah.
A big ball. What's funny, the dude that he kills in this movie, you know, a big old burly black, a big burly bald dude. He actually is the number two merc in Swamp Thing. That's how these moves are connected, yo. So his crew throw him out the fucking window, you know, in his apartment, and he lands right on his car, just dead as fuck. But the gangster shit is, right before he throws him out, he goes, "Enjoy your flight," you know, and then whoosh, gets tossed. But again, Durant, always being the G, the killer he's known to be. At one point, he's in a chopper, and a police helicopter fly up next to him, and he goes, "No, sir, I will not be setting my copter down." And he blows the fucking police helicopter up with a grenade launcher, taking out two cops.
Took
no fucks
out.
Given. And then he starts blowing up a bunch of cars on the freeway like ain't no problem. He's trying to kill Darkman, who's on top of a semi truck, or he's hanging off of some hook off of the chopper. But he's just like, doom, 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 killing hell of people on the freeway. Yeah. Like, he's just like
blowing shit up.
Like fucking terrorists and shit.
It was kind of like, it was a cheaper version of True Lies. Remember when
he's on
the freeway, and even when he's on the building, he shoots down the helicopter with the bazooka.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, I think that's where they got it from, fucking Biters.
but it was impressive, man. Yeah, they were really blowing shit up. Ain't no CG shit on that one.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's Durant's kill count. You know what I'm saying? And then Durant, he's got a little crew. But what's funny, on his crew, he's got this little dorky ass dude with glasses. Which so happens to be the same dude in one of the other episodes that we have, the Thanksgiving one with Blood Rage, the dude selling the condoms.
Oh, right. That's the same dude.
Same fucking idiot.
Fucking nerd.
Nerdy ass motherfucker. But this dude's kind of crazy. Like, the lab assistant to Dr. Westlake, they got a bag over his head. They're trying to choke him out. And then the doctor's like, "Please let him go. He has nothing to do with this." And so Durant goes, "All right. Ventilate him." And then dorky dude just puts a gun to his head.
Fucking merc again. Merc number three.
Hole in the head. Shot to the dome. The dome piece. Funny thing, though, about this dork, though, he's the brother of Sam Raimi. He actually helped write this fucking movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
I know, right? Small world, man.
A small world there, folks.
Then Darkman starts doing his kill. He's starting to get his bodies. He's trying to build up his cases.
But wait a minute. You gotta tell him when he gets fucking murked in his lab. Remember how they shot a fucking missile, and his motherfucker like the building blows up, and he gets. He doesn't get thrown out. He gets blown the fuck up. His body shoots out.
Yeah, he flies up towards the camera fucking Wile E.
Coyote.
Yeah, he
looked like the Rocketeer and shit, man. Like, he... Yeah, that shit was funny, though. That shit was hilarious. That's one... If you watch that movie, peep that part out, man. You're gonna laugh, guaranteed.
Actually, pretty funny. He's like, "Ah!"
Yeah. He has like flames coming off of him and shit. Like, he's fucking cracked out Superman going up in the sky. Oh, that shit was funny, man. Anyhow,
now it's time for the real deal, the real mass murder, the Toxic Avenger.
This is the gem in the rough, diamond in the rough.
Dude, why don't you tell the folks about that first kill with Bozo and the crew?
Oh, yeah, it's weird, folks. I mean, first of all, it's weird because these people, there's like, what, Bozo and three other individuals, yeah, his friend,
they're doing it to two
and his girlfriends, right? Their girlfriends, and so they're drinking and shit, and they're in this fucking badass, what is it, Camaro? I think it's a Camaro. It's like a muscle. So it's a muscle car, so it's fast. So what they're doing is they're getting drunk, drinking and shit, and they're playing a game that pretty much it's kind of that game. Like, I'm gonna be honest. I don't mean it, but you know, it's sometimes it's kind of funny. You're like, oh man, how many points you get for hitting that thing or hitting this or hitting that? So they were doing that type of game where it's like, well, you know, if it's, you know, this person or that person, you get this point, you get that point. So there was a boy on a bike. So on the boy on the bike,
middle of the fucking night,
middle of the night, they're like, oh, you get so many points. I can't remember exactly how many points you'll get. So they're juiced. They're like, oh yeah, fuck it. So they see this little boy who just left his house. His mom was telling him, be careful, put on your fucking helmet.
Doesn't even work,
right? Nah, this shit's all like half off and shit, man. And, you know, and the kid looks like he's a little, you know, slow or whatever political way you want to put it. Potentially. So he's riding the bike, right? These motherfuckers spot him. They get behind him. And Bozo's girl is encouraging him, like, yeah, hit him. It turns me on. Or no, that was the other girl, right? It's like, oh, it turns me on when... blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, you guys could imagine the scene, what's going on in the cockpit. As they're going, they hit this little boy.
Wait. One thing. Mm-hmm. So they don't just hit him right away. So first, go past him.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, little boy. And he's just like, oh.
Just fucking with him.
Just fucking with him. So then they drive ahead. Then they turn around. Yeah. And then they go full fucking speed ahead. Head on. Full fucking speed.
And just whack. Whack. Straight up. He bounced from hood to top of the roof, trunk, and then to the ground. Pavement time. You know, face to the pavement type of thing.
Like Angel hit the ground
hard. Yeah, man. And then they fucking turn around and they're like, oh, that was funny. They're laughing about it. And so,
But the kid's just bleeding from his fucking head. Yeah. He's like crawling and shit. He's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, he's toe up. This little motherfucker's toe the fuck up. Did they stop? No, folks. They came back around. Bozo's like, nah, I'm not satisfied. So what does he do? He backs the fuck up. And as he backs up, yeah, he's burning tires. He's doing the whole fucking nine. And this motherfucker, they show this shit, runs. And look, the tire didn't hit the face. The face hit the tire. That's how bad this shit was. His fucking head exploded. He got ran the fuck over, right? So he does that. He goes. Runs over the little boy's head, stops, turns around, and does he run him over again?
No, just once.
Just once. Oh, no.
They crush his head.
Crushes it. The girls jump out to go take pictures.
With Polaroids. They're like, oh.
Polaroid. And that's that shit right there. No, that shit right there. That shit was many.
That shit was many as fuck.
That's some shit.
I was like, holy shit. No,
that takes some fucking nerve. Yeah. It takes balls to do something. Fucking so coughing, again, that's why. Grant Marchese, when he's saying that, I don't know about the remake, if it's going to be the same, because it's true. You got a lot of shit like that in that type of movie, especially scenes like that. Oh, man, that you pretty much go like, damn, man, they actually did that shit?
That shit was ill. And to top all off, is it looks hella real, man. The effects that they did in this shit look really good.
Yeah.
There's one that's kind of fakeish, but that one would look hella real, man. And, you know, it's that old school, you know, SD type shit.
Right.
But even one of the girls that they took the picture, she ends up like masturbating to that shit later on the movie. It's pretty fucked up. Yeah, so there's a lot of shit going on here, man. So like again, a remake off this, I don't know. We'll see.
It's gonna
unless
be
they
hard.
Base it off the corny ass version of Toxie that ends up coming out later on the movies.
And you know what, folks, about this movie? Like there's something about this franchise because they even did a cartoon off of it. Do you remember the cartoon?
I didn't watch the cartoon.
Because I remember watching the cartoon. But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't like, you know, to that extreme.
It's like all the other stupid-ass cartoons. They had a cartoon for Tales of the Crypt.
Yeah.
They had a cartoon for RoboCop. It was like, what? If y'all seen the first RoboCop, that shit, maybe we get to, you know, I think we should do RoboCop one of these days. But, yeah, that shit, another one that's like, oh, he gets fucked up.
Yeah, the first part.
Yeah, and the remake couldn't top it. But anyways. So, Bozo, and that's not Bozo's only kill in this movie. Him and his homeboy, they're out to find a new car. They're like, hey, man, let's go take that little yellow Honda Civic there.
This fuck.
With the old lady, man. That was a fucked up scene.
It was. So, like, the little boy wasn't.
No, but the old lady, there's an old lady trying to get in her car, and him, Bozo and his homie run over there. Hey, let us help you. And she's like, oh, so nice of you. Bozo grabs a fucking bag of food or his own, but it doesn't matter.
His food bag of food
to the floor. Bozo just fucking uppercuts in the stomach. Whap! The old lady's like, ah! And she falls behind the car. And then his homeboy does just, he fucking finishes her off.
No, crowbar to the head.
No, it was her cane.
No, it was a crowbar.
No, it was her cane. Or it could have been a crowbar.
Because remember, they ran over with the crowbar. He had the crowbar on. And that's why I was like, I wrote that shit in my notebook. Like, damn, she just got clocked the fuck out. And it was like, really?
That serious? He beat the shit out of her.
Dang, man, the lady's already old, man. Just one knock to, one punch to the face.
Straight
that's
to the
it.
Gut.
But really, you gotta fucking sit there and knock her out with the crowbar?
Well, he went beyond that. He was smashing her.
Yeah.
And then the whole time they're like, oh, people so annoying or some.
Yeah.
It said some bullshit like that. So then they steal her car. And then they go joyriding. So yeah, man, that was something else.
Yeah, it was something else. Yeah.
It was straight thug life, man. So Toxie even goes and kills some thugs. He stops them trying to castrate some beat cop with the Irish accent again.
Yeah.
It's the type of movie. So he kills two of the thugs. One dude, the transvestite, he ends up poking his eyes out. Like, you know, like, what's that slapstick comedy? The Three Stooges.
Oh, Three Stooges, yeah.
He does that type of shit. He's like, woo, and he pulls out his fucking eyes, right? And he's like, ah. And then he fights, like, the big fucking thug, the big stupid white dude.
Yeah.
Like, the one that talks like an idiot is like, yo, we're here to kill you. Like, my name is Mondo. That type of thing. So he crushes their head together. He, like, grabs their head, just smashes it together, and you can see brains and shit, and just takes them out. Yeah. So he's doing that type of shit. But later on, we have this crazy-ass scene. Straight 211, aka armed robbery on a fake ass Mexican restaurant.
Oh yeah, that was fucking
Latino
weird.
Latino spotlight.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Fake Mexican restaurant ran by a bunch of white dudes
with
fucking samurai swords under a sombrero. I was like, what?
What the WTF?
W fucking TF.
I mean, it's called the Mexican place. Why the fuck do you have some? Are there something that we don't know about?
It was called The Mexican Place.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is there something we don't know about Mexicans and Japanese? I mean, I know they have a good relationship, but...
Whose fucking idea was that?
I don't know.
It made no sense.
Well, no, there was... There was a point to it, right? Having the summer sword.
One of the robbers grabs a sword, which was hella dumb. So pretty much everyone's like likes to do karate and fuck kung fu and this... You know,
is that kung fu fever, right?
Yeah. Well, it was huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, kung fu this, kung fu that, karate this, ninja that.
And actually, a lot of the actors in it, bad guys, they knew how to fight.
Yeah, well, they've done a lot of bad guy roles in hella movies.
But even like not the main characters. Remember the one dude he was fighting in the Mexican restaurant, one of the goons? That motherfucker was doing like some, I don't know, kung fu or martial arts, but he looked like, that motherfucker looked like he knew what he was doing and shit. Like he was like, whack, 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 and then chop to the face.
Spinning kicks and kung fu chops.
Karate kid shit, you know?
Yeah. And then that one dude knows how to fight or acts like he knows how to fight. That dude's Leroy. He's got, you know, face paint one side. But that dude's a G. Oh, that dude's psycho, man. Because he comes in with a shotgun at first. And then with the shotgun, he points at the little baby and a mom. He's like, look at this little mom and a littler baby. I was like, damn.
No, wait, what does he tell the baby?
It's like, he says something about shut the fuck up unless you want a hot tamale down your throat. I was like, damn.
He was like, folks, he was talking about the shotgun pointed to his face. And he's going to put a slug down his throat. Damn, that's gangster, though.
At the baby.
The baby's like, what the fuck? You look like fucking Grogu or Little Yoda and shit.
And then some other dude goes, no, you can't do that. Leave us alone. And then he just said, what? Bow! And kills that dude. Just like, all right, well, it's that type of robbery. Shut the fuck up. So then, and then there's this blind girl there who later on she becomes Toxie's female, the one wearing the bikini that we talked about earlier. her guide dog starts barking, and then Leroy goes, man, shut the fuck up. And he shoots the guide dog twice. It's a guide dog, folks.
And they show that shit later on.
How you going to have a remake? How you going to do a remake, bruh?
And they show that shit, though.
His guts hanging out. I was like, damn.
No, and then what happens? Come on, continue.
You just shot that bitch twice. I'm talking about the dog. That was fucked. And then Blaine goes, what's it doing on my dog?
And then what comes after? What comes after? Come on.
Oh, and then it just gets, then it just keeps getting better, folks.
No, they fucking, this, go ahead, man. I'm going to let you say it.
Whoa. When they
this black woman gets raped. In whoa. Front of everyone.
She's about to, so the same Blaine girl's about to get raped. It's not that, it's not, it's funny, not funny, but it's crazy.
That's how it's crazy so this wild. Movie is.
So the one of the, there's three robbers, right? And so we talked about Leroy. Then there's the leader, the black dude. His name is Frank. You know, dressed like an Apache. Looked like he come out of like Oscar Bombada and his crew. And he decides to go, hey, blind girl. And he bends her over and he's ready to start tapping it. That's when Toxie shows up.
No, he was tapping that shit. He was raping her.
I want to believe that he did not rape her and he was about like, to get in there.
Now, we're keeping it real on this show.
So Toxie shows up and then he starts fighting Frank, which is kind of a shit fight. But then eventually Toxie like grabs his Frank's arm, puts it over his shoulder and just rips it off. And he goes, oh, fuck. And he beats Frank up with his arm.
And the whole crew.
And then he starts fighting the whole crew.
With the arm.
With the arm and doing karate kicks and all that shit. Right? Samurai sword. So then Leroy, the way he takes him out is that they're in the back of the kitchen. Okay, remember guys, this place is called the Mexican place. He starts grabbing ice cream and whipped cream and milk. And he starts drowning that motherfucker Leroy with it. And he's shoving in his mouth, right? He's got him on top of the counter. He's shoving his face full of ice cream and milk, whipped cream.
Just everything.
And then he jams his face into the milkshake blender. It's a Mexican joint. Why do you even have all that?
And then where the fuck did the ice cream come from? Why is there ice cream on the counter?
Yeah. And so that's how he kills him. Then you see blood start coming out. And so he becomes like a Sunday thing, you know, Sunday themed murder. So then he ends up finding the other thug. You know, he's looking like a greaser. He's got like black leather jacket. And at one point, the guy's like, I was just playing, man. I was just playing. So he grabs him, right? And he bends like the some metal bars around him, around the fryer, and sticks his hands in the fryer. He's like, and he passes out.
No, so what he does, he rips one of the tubes from the fryer, wraps his hands in it, and then sticks his hands into the fire, and then that's when he does the tubing. So you couldn't get out, and he couldn't, like, you know.
He couldn't get away. He's fucked.
At all, period.
He's done.
Period.
So he's stuck there, fried hands. He's like, he's the only one that survives. And then Toxie goes back and grabs Frank, and he throws his ass into a pizza oven. He's like, okay. This is a Mexican place, fool. Why is there a pizza oven in the Mexican place?
Hey, man, Taco Bell has Mexican pizzas.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Mexican pizza. Come on, folks. Don't confuse you. I don't give a fuck if you're sad that they don't make them anymore. It's off the menu. That shit is not a Mexican pizza. It's not a pizza, and it ain't Mexican. All right? It's just some fried tortillas with some shit all over it. So yeah. So that happens, right? Remake? Come on now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
But then I got to say, the funniest kill in this whole movie. So you got this scene, right? It's a dry cleaning place.
I can't help it.
Dude, it's a dry, this one made me laugh. Because I didn't know, I hadn't seen this movie in a long ass time. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I just see this little person, you know, she's an old lady, you know, a little old person.
Well, yeah, and, not all old, but, you know,
but she's up there. Say she's up there, right? You know, she's got gray silver hair and whatever, and she's talking to the owner, and he's like, oh, I gotta run out and deal with the cop that's trying to give me a parking ticket.
No, she runs in. You gotta tell him the whole story, man.
Well, I mean, the beginning is not that it important.
She runs in with a pair of jeans from his son. that had nut in it. That she's like, what is this? I don't know what this is. Can you take this off? It's just weird. The whole way I fucking started was funny. So anyway, I had to throw that in there.
So, okay. So she's by herself and she's in front of the counter. She's looking at the counter. And all of a sudden, big ass Toxie shows up behind her. And you're like, what? And he just smacks her in the back of the head. Just like, pat.
No words spoken.
No words. Nothing said. Just, what? Like you would smack a little kid.
It's like Snoop upside your head.
Yeah. And she turns around. She's like, what? And she freaks out because it's fucking Toxie. I mean, his face looks all messed up. One eye where his cheek is supposed to be and his lips. And, you know, he's got no hair and he's got boils on top of his head. He's all green. Guy's a freak, right? And so she goes, she starts screaming. So he starts chasing her. He grabs her and he sticks her in the fucking dryer. He sticks her in the dryer, folks. But guess what he does next, kid? Guess what he does? Then he says, no, he says, no tiki, no washi. I was like, what the hell is that? What does that mean? It made no sense. And then he turns it on, right? And he's not done with her yet, kids. Because then he grabs, he pulls her out, and he puts her on the presser. He puts her ass on the presser and just... And he leaves her there.
Her up.
She had the creases.
She had a crease down the fucking middle of her face, man. Like, damn.
And then the owner comes back and he goes, and he just like, what the fuck?
No. Person, he goes, no, he doesn't quit playing out. Her.
He's like, no, he goes, oh, the customer should not be on the equipment. Dude, she's laying down. She's a little person. So she fits the whole presser and she's dead there. And he's just like, they're not all people aren't allowed to go back there on their equipment.
Shit.
It was on one. But later on, you find out that she happened to be the leader. She ran a human trafficking ring. She was the leader. She was a human trafficker. How about that?
Yeah. So it's not that fucked up. I mean, the old lady from when she got punked for her car, that was fucked up. But really this right here wasn't fucked up.
At first, I was like, that's fucked up. But then when you find out, you know, like, she's a human trafficker, she's like, oh, too
shit. And that shit was random. Like, that shit hit from left field.
Yeah, you're like
what?
What
the fuck?
What's with this fucking dry cleaning? And then he just smacks her in the head.
It's like they weren't done with killing.
Yeah. But then he goes back and finishes off the crew.
Yeah.
Right? The bully crew. So it's just the two hot chicks. So this is where it's disturbing, right? So you got the brunette, right? The brunette hot chick. She's in the sauna, you know, all naked. You see some chi-chis. But then she's playing with herself. But again, like I mentioned before, it's to the picture of the dead kid.
Yeah, that was weird.
She's all looking at the head. She's like, and she's getting off.
Like straight up.
Yeah. And then I don't know how she dies.
I remember.
He grabs her and he just sits her on top of the sauna rocks.
That's how he did.
And she goes, she screams and you hear a lot of steam, obviously.
No, he made a comment like, cool your ass off or something like that.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was a funny little scene.
But it's, again, it's just kind of weird, but she ends up dying somehow, but whatever. So then he chases the blonde girl. So then he goes and he finds the blonde girl in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And then she freaks out, obviously. And then some other women are in the locker rooms. And so he sees them. He's like, oh, I don't want to see, you know, women in an inappropriate way. Some weird corny shit like that. So she takes off running. So then he just starts stalking her through the basement of the gym. So this is where you can start seeing that it's not Wes Craven, but it had that feel to it because he starts chasing her through it like he's Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers or Jason. Like almost like he's the bad guy this time. And she's freaking out. She's trying to escape. But he corners her into it looks like the janitor's bathroom or janitor's room or something like that. And then he just starts like creeping up, walking towards her. Like the camera angle reminded me of the old school Jackson Thriller video at the very end.
Yeah.
Where the girl's like in the house and Michael Jackson zombie and his zombie crew are coming in at her, closing in. It was just like that. But then he stabs her with a scissor. You don't see him do it, but he picks up the scissor to see the shadow like Psycho. I think Kaufman was doing that on purpose because I think he just took these horror elements and he put them all together. Because it was all like the scissors scene. It was like the old lady from Psycho, knife. That's what it seemed like. Then you got the thriller scene. And then you've got the whole stalking like it was like Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers. Because Michael Myers was before this too.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see how. Yeah. Because it is kind of a sort of a spoof type of
Yeah.
Right? Horror comedy movie.
Well, one thing I learned is there's a name for this. It's called splatstick. So you've got slapstick comedy, which is pretty much like the Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all slappy that type of stuff. Like, you know, Ace Ventura, you know, slapstick. And then because this is gory, it's splatter. So now they combine it, splatstick. I listened to another podcast called Colors of the Dark. Don't do that shit, man. I got an upcoming. This is what I learned. This is what I learned.
Fucking rancor.
You cheer rancor. Nah. So, but it's just interesting. So, yeah, splatstick. Like you said, it was just like, it's comedic, it was humor, fucked up, but she was fine, man. Yeah, was like funny. The little person scene, man, that shit made me laugh.
That movie is fucking worth watching.
And again, this is not for you sensitive folks.
Nah.
You know, stay away from this thing. Go watch the remake because that's what's going to be for you. For real. That's what I call it.
That's the middle finger to you.
Yeah.
Politely.
That's a lot of murder shit. What was your favorite murder scene out of all these? There was a lot of crazy ones, man. Oh,
man. Everything. All of them were my favorite, but the most, the funniest one, that I have to pick two. I can't go with one. I have to, you know, all the other movies are cool. I like how they died and shit, but Toxic Avenger, Toxie, that motherfucker just had it on point. If there was awards for this type of shit, it would go to him. It's the one with the little, I know it's a little boy, but if you took the little boy aspect out of it, that scene was pretty funny when he got his face fucking just smashed. And then the old lady, or the, not the old lady, but the laundry lady.
Yeah. The human trafficker.
The human trafficker. Yeah. that shit was, that was hilarious. That was the funniest fucking kill scene for me out of all the movies.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. Yeah. Definitely agree with all that.
All right, folks. So we're moving into
It's a Thin Line
Between Love and Hate.
Yep.
So, Grand Marquise, which movie held up the most for you in your eyes from when you first saw it back in the day?
Ooh. Yeah, the one I would say Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
I saw them all way back in the day. Toxie, I think I saw, like, it was like on VHS or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were kids at the time.
And I'm trying to remember how did we come across that?
It was on TV, I think. It was up all night on USA Network. Obviously, it didn't have the full guts.
USA, or was it?
Probably USA Channel.
Or Channel like 2. That. Or no, remember when they used to have the movies on Saturday?
It was USA.
Oh, USA.
USA at night. Because they're the ones that hold all these B movies that we'd always watch. Okay. So we saw all these B horror movies on USA Network because they're the ones that would show it at night. That and Joe Bob Briggs back in the day on TNT.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, he's on Shudder now, so get on Shudder, go watch him there.
Yeah.
But the rated R version, I didn't see that till years later because it was hard to see because it was hard to find
mm-hmm.
the dude's head getting crushed like that. I think I saw it on VHS like in one of my older cousins' house, like mm-hmm. in Sacramento probably. But in any case. Yeah, so that movie held up. Like, I can still watch it now and laugh my ass off
mm-hmm.
for all the wrong reasons. And also go, holy shit, they actually said that shit. And then a lot of the effects look good, man.
Yeah.
I was like, surprised. Like, oh, these effects look good. Again, the dead kid, man. Just looking at it still now, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the images, that the shot that they have, the head, the aftermath, it looked real as fuck. I was like, because you can see brains. You see,
yeah, I agree.
You know, meat matter, just fucking face all over the place. And the helmet crazy, all crushed.
Man. This is crazy.
Yeah, man. What about you, man?
Man, I have to agree with you. It was Toxic Adventure. I just like the way how they shot the movie. You know, and it's very grimy. It's grimy, but it's just every scene has something crazy going on. Like, there was a lot of scenes when they're in the gym. There's this particular gym that they used to, that they probably knew someone that owned the gym.
Yeah.
Because you got people smoking in the gym. You got people doing coke in the gym. You got all these shits going. People are getting beat up in the gym. There's hella shit going on in the background. And that's what I like about that movie, that it's a movie that it has up front, it has all the like killing scenes, all the cool scenes are good. And yeah, some of the parts are cheesy, but they have swag to it. It's not like, God, this is so fucking gringy. Now it's like cheesy, but you can laugh at it, right? You're funny. But the overall is that it's a type of movie that if you watch it two times, three, four, you're gonna keep
seeing little things
in the background. So I really like that. That's kind of like some Waldo off the shit type of thing, you know, like on the movie. So that's mainly why. And then again, because of the killing scenes where they weren't like super, you know, all these effects to it and everything. I mean, it was simple, but still gruesome. Still, like, if it falls under that horror category.
Yeah. And some of those scenes, and some of it was like kind of like Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah, show. Right, exactly. Like some shit that you know it's not true, but it's funny. It's hilarious. And personally, you know, I will say it. I'm not sick. If you want to think that I'm sick, Monday, whatever. But it is funny to see shit like that where a little kid's getting killed or a fucking old lady getting beat down. It's fucked up. But come on, I'm gonna be real. Again, keeping it real, this shit is humor. That's all. I see it as a funny thing, not as something that would actually happen. Because if it did, the motherfucker would get beat down if I was around. So I'm taking it as a comedy, and that's one. It's something that I don't see now because everything is so sensitive now. Everybody's so political correct, and you can't do this, can't say this.
Okay? Yep.
So that's what makes that movie a charm, where it gives you those aspects that is taboo.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what makes horror great. And then, I mean, another, you know, a perfect example from Toxie is the scene right after Melvin gets melted. He's on the floor and everyone from the gym is watching. First they're laughing at him, then they're like, ugh. And even Bozo's girl goes, I don't know, he doesn't look too good. And he goes, you can't fucking take a joke. He fucking sucks.
He said it like twice, or his partner said it too, right? And then he said the same thing. You just can't take a joke.
Yeah.
Or some shit like that. But you know what I did realize though? On the actual Toxic Avenger and Darkman, they die the same way. The main characters, they get dipped in a...
All of them.
Swamp Thing gets blown up and he runs into the bayou.
Yeah. Next.
Next.
So, you know, the makeup effects. Again, we touched a little bit upon that. You know, something obviously is fucking terrible.
Garbage.
Toxie was just goofy ads. He hit, ripped up tutu on this dude's like green and...
But he
was kind of swole. He was a big ass dude.
Well, his upper body, his lower body, it was like garbage.
Little chopsticks.
Yeah, but he basically had a skin tight suit, right? Or I don't know what you would call it back in the day, but
spandex.
It's spandex or something. The whole suit, and then they just kind of painted camouflage on it, kind of made it dirty.
All dirty.
But it didn't matter because the fucking face is like, damn, his face is fucked up, man.
And what's funny is they save the up close, the picture, the look of his face. They save it until the middle of the movie. The whole time you just hear the grunts, and then you see him from the back of the head, and then you just see, you know, the lower half of his body.
Yeah.
So that was pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
They wait, and then I think you don't see his face until he kills the blonde chick, right?
No, even past that, I think it was...
When he bangs the blind girl. He ends up banging the blind girl.
Even then, I think it was right after that. It was right after that that they show his face, and then they start showing them being together. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Folks, he gets a fuck in that movie, too.
Well, yeah, he gets down with the blind girl. She forgets that her dog is dead real quick. And then she moves in with him in like this little-ass, busted-ass, bissel-ass trailer in the middle of the... freaking toxic waste dump.
Yeah, so check it out.
Stop talking about Toxic. Yeah, y'all gotta go see it. But when it comes to the makeup effects of the main hero, I give it to Darkman.
Yeah,
because Darkman had that look. It was his face is half burnt, but actually it's more than that. Like his whole, you only see like one quarter of his face is actually there. He's got no hair, and the bottom of his, like his jaw, the top part of his, it's almost like the flesh is all burnt. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a zombie, and his teeth are all like sticking out. And yeah, it's all burnt flesh. It's all zombie looking. Half of his other face is all like fucking Two-Face style.
Yeah.
That type of shit. And he looked, and it looked good. You know, most of the time he was wearing bandages and shit, like the Invincible Man type thing. But when he wasn't wearing it, he looked fucking crazy.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, even then, when he did have the bandage, you know, like you said, the mouth part.
You can still see it. Yeah.
They caught it. Yeah. They made it. They were smart about it. They knew that they couldn't full out, you know, like nowadays where you could just fucking
CG that shit.
Yeah, now it's like they in the movie itself, it's more, I would say that they had definitely had a bigger budget. Mm-hmm. And yep. when it comes to the makeup and effects and all that, than the other two, because you can see it. I mean, right off the bat, it was cool.
But because of that, some of the CG effects they were using is definitely dated.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that.
And then we talked about it when we were watching the movies. Like, it would be cool if they did remake it. You know, it's one of those movies that would need an uplift.
It had the RoboCop type of CG effects.
Right, right.
Same type of
but effects. It wasn't bad, but it's compared to what's out there now.
So, let me ask you this. You know, these are hero movies, so there was villains. And each villain, you know, main villain had a side boss. You know, I always call them bosses, like video games. You got mm-hmm. the main boss and the side boss. Mm-hmm. You know, after watching these movies, which do you think, which bosses do you like?
Well,
which combo?
I would do a combo. Yeah, I was going to say, I would do a combo of the evil scientist from Swamp Thing with the dude from Darkman. What's his name?
Durant.
I think they'll make a good team. Yeah, I like
wreck shit.
Yeah, because I like Arcane. I can never say his name right. Arcane. I like how he's in the movie. He's kind of like smooth,
yeah,
kind of cool and shit. And then he has like this pimped out home in the bayou. I don't know why, but he does. But he just it's cool, you know. And I like that type of feel. And then you know, Durant, he kind of just mimics that, you know. He kind of has that similar.
He does.
You know, it's kind of quiet.
He's G as fuck.
Yeah, and when it gets down to get dirty, no questions asked, no doubts, no buts. He just gets to the point. So those would be my two combinations.
Oh, that's some good combinations. Yeah, I definitely would take Durant as actually. I would do a combination of Durant. I would make him the main boss. Uh-huh. I'd make him the Godfather. And then his capo would be Bozo.
And, you know, Bozo would have been my second choice.
But then Bozo's just crazy.
He's just
you
crazy.
Know he'd fuck shit up by himself, and then he get himself in trouble. You know, and you can see Durant going, okay, now I got to control this fucking idiot. He's just wrecking shit, running people over. That'd be a funny, fucked up situation. Stressed out Bozo and a cool-ass Durant that has a hard time killing the main hero.
I agree, man.
Tattoo shop.
Oh, shit.
We up in the parlor again, man.
Right.
This is where we always get creative. You know, favorite part of the whole Hella Horror Show. So this question, this is where we get creative. We ask the question, and then we just improvise a story on that question. We talked about mutants, monsters, and freaks, right? How would you design your hero? And what would be his or her powers?
How about you start this
Okay.
Because last time I went first.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
That gives me a little sec. All right. So monsters and freaks. Yeah. So the story takes place in a trap house. Let's say the Nino Brown type of dude. You know, he's running the show. And he's working on, you know, a heroin strain and some meth. You know, he's fucking around. He's mixing some shit up. He's like, oh, let's just figure this out. What's happening on the other side of the town, young Latin kid, he's going to Berklee College. You know, he's working in the labs. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on an intern. You know, they're working on some fucking new formula and shit. All of a sudden, there's a big fire and an explosion. Mercs show up. They're trying to steal this formula. He's like, oh, shit. You know what? I know some homies back in Oakland. Maybe they can help me out. Help me protect this formula that's going to save cancer or whatever. So he grabs it. You know, he runs out. He calls his Tio Payaso. Hey, Tio Payaso, I need you to help me out. You know, there's no worries. No worries, mijo. Boom, they swoop him up, right? And they're like, hey, I need to hide out somewhere. I know the spot. So, boom. Where did they go? a fucking trap house with Nino Brown, right? So they show up there. He's like, hey, man, hey, mijo, just sit out here. You know, I ain't going to stay with you because, you know, I got work to do, bro. So he stays with Nino Brown. And he sees what Nino Brown's doing. And he doesn't like it. Nino Brown don't trust his kid, but he knows Tio Payaso. He's a man of his word. He's like, fuck, all right, you can stay here. Kid, he doesn't like drugs. Like, you know, his family's in that shit. He's like, I don't approve any of this shit. So what does this stupid pendejo do? He tries to leave. He actually wants to call the cops. He wants to snitch, right? Nino Brown catches word. Him and his homies, you know, they approach him, ready to take him out. And he goes, hey, fuck you, Nino Brown. And a scuffle ensues. You know, tables get dropped over, the chemicals. He's got the formula in his pocket. He falls down. The formula breaks in his pocket and it mixes in with all these drugs and shit. And all of a sudden he turns into like this big hulky monster, right? Hulk. He almost looks like Hulk in a way. Mm-hmm. Except what ends up happening is that his eyes, they go, they're like a bright blue. And then lightning just starts like, you know, trickling around his eyes. And whenever that happens, he just starts wilding out, you know, and he's got big hands. He, where his feet are at, they're like, instead of, they turn into like claws, kind of like a dog's claws. But he looks kind of weird because his feet are, his legs are kind of thin, like a dog in a way, but the rest of his body's kind of slow. Okay. And he just starts hopping around, just starts tearing people up. And he's running through town. He's scared. He calls Tio Payaso and he shows up and he goes, oh, what the fuck are you? And he just starts shooting them. Then they kill him.
Damn.
Tio Payaso kills him. And then he turns back to normal and Tio Payaso starts crying. Smile, not cry later. And then he gets a tattoo of him on his face.
If he even have space.
That'd be my story.
Oh, shit. Okay. Okay.
He's a hero, would-be hero type of thing.
Okay, all right. All
his intentions were heroic.
All right. Well, mine, folks. Here I go, man. Here's mine. Okay. So, you got this dealer. Marijuana dealer. It's kind of a... It would be a comedy horror.
Nice.
So you have this marijuana dealer. Of course, he's going to be Mexican or some type of Latino. He's selling his shit and he comes up with this. So he's like reading strains and shit, you know, to get like a nice, good fucking strain because it's right now it's popping. It's that green gold rush, right? So puts the shit together. He comes up with some fucking bomb ass bud, like some loud shit, some shit that just... Got you on Space Nine type of shit, right?
Simone.
So they word goes around, and then there's this, you know, the villain is some cat, you know, who's grimy and shit, and he's trying to, you know, move up the ranks and shit and trying to get himself situated in the whole drug game. So he peeps out game about this new strain. So he goes and checks out Homeboy, you know, the Mexican who's fucking putting it together, and actually the one who came up with the strain. He's like, hey, man, you need to sell that to me, man. We could do big money, you know, or if not, let's go and be in cahoots and, you know, we could do our thing. And dude's like, nah, man, I don't want to roll with you because I know about you and that's not my style. I only fuck with weed. I don't fuck with the other shit. And plus, I'm not that type of person, yada, yada. So dude don't like it, you know, because the villain, he's like, nah, man, you know, you do what I say and I need this money. I need to rank up. I don't care what you think. You're going to make it happen.
Right.
So they get into a scuffle. His goons are there with him, you know, the villains. So they grab the Mexican, the botanist Mexican, you know, they fucking grab him and they kill him, right? They fucking just kill him, cut him up and grind him down because he didn't want to comply with them. So then they fucking...
Some cartel shit.
So then they grab him and they mix that shit in with the soil to fucking just for laughs and grow some strain, right? He grows a fucking strain. That weed strain that he wants because they found some in the lab and whatnot. So they grow it and the plant starts to grow with the botanist Mexican mixed into it with his body parts and such because they grind his bones. Better get his bones. So then the fucking plant, man, for some reason, when they're like feeding it nutrients and shit, the botanist had some special ingredient that you put in the soil to actually get that best strain, but they didn't know that. So they used that in the combination of human bone with that. It created a fucking living plant, a living strain. And he kind of looks like the Swamp Thing, but just a bud. He's like this big bud, right? Just fucking mane. Just Hulk Hogan style and shit. Or fucking what's the Ultimate Warrior style and shit, right? He's green. He got his fucking biceps are just buds, like big, huge buds. He has fucking his fucking dick. It's a fucking blunt. His balls are two buds. So, you know, you get the picture. So he finds out. He's like, nah, fuck these motherfuckers. He still has his memories. Memory, you know, collections. And so he's going throughout the city finding this motherfucker like, nah, this fool did me dirty. He's going to pay for it. So he starts killing fools in many different ways, in a way where they're smoking weed. So one, he finds his girl, because the villain's girl was there.
Uh-huh.
She was also helping with the whole ordeal. Finds her first, and so the botanist tells her, like, oh, you like to smoke? Well, how about this fucking blunt? And starts to shove his dick in her mouth, but the balls or his buds of his balls starts hitting her chin. He's like, how about those buds on your chin? And then he finds the villain. But, you know, he's going out killing all these people in that kind of type of style. He finds the villain. He says, nah, fuck that. What I'm going to do with you, I'm going to smoke you. He said, what? I'm going to smoke you. He hacks his fucking bottom of his half off, his head off. No, in fact, he leaves his head off, puts a fucking pipe, like this cylinder on his fucking mouth. He puts a bowl on his ass, and he fucking just smokes him like a bong and shit. So, so the whole movie is just him going on a rampage and killing all the motherfuckers that were there. And once that happened, you know, once that happens, he just ends up just grinding himself up and
smokes himself.
Well, he just kind of like, I don't know. I have to figure out what happens in the end or some shit like that. But yeah, that's kind of the you know,
Toxie inspired.
Yeah, man. So I don't know what the name would be, but yeah, pretty much it's a fucking walking marijuana bud.
That's nutty, man.
How about that, man? About that, it's some crazy off the shit. But you know what? The shit that we fucking talked about today—that's
some off the wall. That's shit.
Some off the wall type of fucking shit. So that's what it is. That's what it is, folks.
Last words.
Last words.
Call to action.
Simone, man,
it's calling the soldiers.
It's that time, folks. We have reached the end of our episode. It was fun. We loved bullshitting with you guys. But there is one thing you guys got to do for us. You got to find us on IG, TikTok, at Hello Horror Podcast. We're also on Twitter, and our handle is at Hello Horror Pod.
Yup. So you can find our podcast everywhere where podcasts are available, and we'll keep growing in those places. Just make sure you comment, rate, review, follow, give stars. Subscribe and download. You like it. Like, sub, subscribe, all that good stuff. Follow. You can email us at hellohorrorpodcast@gmail.com. You email us your suggestions, fan art if you got it, hate mail if you got it, and anything that you might say, hey man, y'all doing a good job, tell us.
We accept it all.
Simone. And remember, keep on dreaming. Just do something about it.
No. It's not keep dreaming. Keep having nightmares, because it is about the Hella Horror Podcast.
That's right.
Simone.
You got to keep the kukui off your back, though. That's going to fuck you up. Just shut up.
All right, gente. It was fun hanging out. With this, we're out.
Laters.